When I first looked over the heads of the people that were the saints, the people called by God to faith at Trinity Lutheran Church in Paola, Kansas on June the 23rd of 1979, I saw many gray heads, people who had served the Lord as his people for decades. And I thought to myself, what do I have to say to them? And how can I, a young man of 27 years old, barely having turned 27, be their pastor and their teacher as they have called me to be? Well, over the years, the Lord showed me how I might do that, and he used various people and various experiences to do that. One of the greatest resources that I found was the Circuit Winkle, that in that Winkle there were men who had served the Lord as his pastors of the flock for as many years as those people that I served had been saints. And they were wonderful resources. They gave advice and direction, admonition sometimes, and answered questions of casuistry. What do you do when? Or how do I handle this if? One gentleman in particular, even though we were somewhat different theologically, I went to for those practical advices because when he had begun, he had not even been given a church. 40 years prior to his retirement from the congregation that he had founded, he had been given a place, an area to begin knocking on doors. And by God's grace, when he retired, there were 3,000 baptized members in that congregation. People who had been brought to faith through God's word, through baptism, and strengthened in the supper. So yes, he knew a lot about people and how to get along. Now, it's not unusual that young pastors need that kind of guidance, just like children need to learn from their parents, from moms and dads, how to behave with other kids. And so Paul writes, as a mature man, a man who had long years of experience in dealing with people, based on the gospel of Jesus Christ, to this young pastor Titus, and he says, in essence, if I may paraphrase the advice in those verses of Titus 2, treat them like family. In fact, encourage the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ to treat each other like family. And you all know how families operate, moms and dads and brothers and sisters. Well, we do know how families operate, don't we? We struggle sometimes with how families operate. We have a 2-year-old that puts his hands on his hips and does a contest of wills with us. And that same 2-year-old, given another 12 years or so, does an even better job of it. And at some point or another, you as a parent, as a mom or a dad, might hear the question, well, I didn't ask to be born into this family. Why can't you do what I want you to do? I didn't ask to be born into it. That's true, though, you know. I watched the birth of our first child and marveled that anybody would be willing to go through all that my wife had for our eldest. That question kept reappearing as the years went by. The process repeated itself by God's great grace. More children arrived, and the task at hand was somehow to manage these very willful little sinners. There was discord, there was disharmony, there were arguments, there were fights, there was the whole panoply of experience that you and I share. Because we were family, we were bound together, and yet as sinners, people always interested in our own benefit and our own welfare. We were constantly rubbing. We were constantly fighting each other. What brought us together, I guess, were three things. First of all, was an understanding we shared a name and an identity. We were all Berglunds. The second thing that brought us together is we shared, in fact, a common faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this particularly was helpful on a practical level when we sat down to eat and had family devotions, so that whatever was going on, however many barbs had been cast from one to the other, however many feelings hurt, as we shared just the little portals of prayer with its Bible reading and its meditation, and as we rotated the prayer duty, there was reestablished a harmony and a peace. And I think the third thing that did bring us together, too, was a common mission or service. No matter how confused we got, and we did get confused at times, we understood we were in this together towards the common goal of serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, in the church, the family of God, we also have that which has bound us together, a common name, Christ. little Christ Christian, and a common identity. And we didn't ask to be born into this family any more than we asked to be born into our earthly families. One of the wonderful advantages of John chapter 3, where Jesus talks about being born again or being born from above, is that the person has no volition involved. He doesn't ask. But like life itself, the Holy Spirit grants a grace of new life and new birth. And we are brought into this family, and we are cemented in Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection, and forgiven and brought into a family where love and acceptance and peace coming from God are ours and are ours to share. We have a common bond also. When St. John uses the word koinonia, we get our word coin from it, that which is common, that which is something they commonly shared. He only uses it in four verses of all the books that he writes in 1 John. And it's obvious that what he's talking about as our basic for a family, as our ground and the establishment of who we are, is Jesus Christ and the sound of doctrines that Paul encouraged Titus to remember, to preach and to teach and to share. But there was a third thing too. I mean, we could talk about it as characteristics, how people with family characteristics are identifiable. When Paul Mummy became a student, it was obvious that he was a mummy because he looked so much like David. And I don't mean to single anyone out, Paul, but that we, you and I, all share a characteristic, not by length of our nose or the shape of our face or even the color of our skin, but a characteristic that is described in a word, love. By this ye shall know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. A love that we have received that brought us into the family, a love which binds us together as a family, as real brothers and sisters in Christ, and a love which moves us to reach out with that same birth, that same gospel of new birth, that same washing of rebirth into a new age. The resurrection age brought home to us who are taken to the cross of Christ and they're cleansed of our sins. The love of God is a love of a father for us, his children, our older brother Jesus Christ, knitted together in him by the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. As we live in our families on earth, as we live in this family, the church, as we find our place and celebrate our name and give thanks to God, who has loved us so much as to call us his children. In Jesus' name, amen.